When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. And combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. So, download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. We are recording live. Hey, we're just getting ready for the playoffs. We're switching the schedule up a little bit. It's not a crime to get ready. Is it a crime to get ready for the playoffs?
I don't think so.
It's about to be the most wonderful time of the year. Got to get in the spirit.
Yeah. Shit. No jury in the world would convict us of getting ready for the playoffs. Switching the recording schedule up a little bit. Sunday nights. Live on Amazon Amp is Monday. It's Sunday, March 26th. If you're listening to this not on the live, it's Monday, March 27th. Most likely, I guess. Shit, maybe you're listening to it 2 years from now. I don't know.
That's Jesus, possible. Ain't no telling. I hope not. Maybe. Bro.
Yeah.
This not this episode. We're gonna grow so much. Could you like us 2 years ago was not this podcast. Yeah. You know what I mean?
True. That's true. That's true. We'll probably keep growing and evolving. You know.
Yeah.
That voice you hear is the dulcet tones of LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
You make me sound so sweet. I like that. What does that even mean? I don't know what it means. It just sounded good.
Dulcet?
Yeah, yeah.
It means you have a caramel voice. It means you have like a, ooh, like sound. It means you sound like a jazz saxophone.
Oh, wow. That's a lie, but I'll take it. What's that, Bubba's? That's a fucking voice. Right, very dulcet to me, right?
And the other voice you hear is the smoky soprano of Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm Gardy V, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike. Gangland Gardy.
Really excited to be talking to you guys on a Sunday night, you know, switch things up, getting ready for the playoffs, like we said, doing it big here in the Jenkins and Jones factory.
Shut up! What is happening?
Let's go.
Let's talk about LeBron James is back after a month out with a foot injury. He said, and I quote, multiple doctors told him he had to have season-ending foot surgery. I don't love hearing that because I feel like that was probably accurate.
That's
what he needed to do. But he saved the season. He said that after consulting with, quote, the LeBron James of feet, LeBron James is back. Gentlemen, has there ever been a funnier sentence uttered in the English language than LeBron James saying he consulted the LeBron James of feet? to get cleared to return to playing basketball.
That quote made me so uncomfortable, dog. the LeBron James of feet. Like, listen, you got to understand, man. Like, feet dudes are different dudes, right? Like, I don't think surgeon when you talk about a dude who's a fucking foot fanatic, right? Like, no, it made me feel uncomfortable. It didn't take me to think that this dude is a world-class surgeon. It made me think of, like, the creepiest motherfuckers on the internet. Like, the reply guys in the fucking OnlyFans girls fucking Twitter account. That's what it made me think about.
If he would have said the LeBron James of what, podiatry or foot injuries or something like that, it would have.
That's not what he said, though.
But he said the LeBron James of look left, look right, feet. He even felt uncomfortable when feet came out of his mouth. Nigga. You know what I mean? He's like, maybe I went too far, but he was too far to go back. You know what I mean?
If you're that podiatrist, you've got to have that printed on a fucking billboard above your practice, right? The LeBron James of feet, LeBron James.
Dot, before the feet, not after. The ellipsis has to go before, not after.
Didn't he go to Germany? Was that substantiated? Was that
yes,
verified?
He was fully on his Mamba mentality that Kobe famously would go get his knee.
Kobe got that goddamn adamantium.
You feel me?
Right. He had the same surgeon that goddamn put Wolverine through fucking Weapon X, Project X, whatever.
Well, fucking, yeah. Kobe made himself very susceptible to Magneto, bro. Absolutely. Your jump shot's wicked, but Magneto can pick you up by that knee and twirl you around like a towel. I'm happy to hear that LeBron is back. I did see someone said he went to Germany and got the Winter Soldier serum injected into his foot, which is probably not far off the truth. I'm happy to see him back. Obviously wish that the Lakers would have won, but let's talk about it. We've been a little bit perverted in the group chat talking about the Lakers' chances.
Freak nasty.
You get D'Lo back. You get a healthy run. Let's not be reasonable. What's the ceiling for a healthy Lakers team this season, gentlemen?
A championship. Let's get fucking...
Nigga!
And I don't even think I'm being stupid. Like, you know, I've said this before. I think that, you know, at any given time in the NBA, there's only like four or five guys who are good enough to lead you to a championship. I don't think Bron's the best player in the world anymore, but I still think he's on that tier of guys who can lead you to a championship. So, if you know, he looked good tonight. I think he had, 19-10. You know, he was – what I was really looking for was, like, you know, the change of direction. You mm-hmm. know, how good was he going to be on stopping on the dime or change of direction? He looked pretty good with that. Agreed. So, you know, yeah. So, you know, this was one of those frustrating games. It was one of those goddamn carrot on the string on the stick the whole fucking time where the Bulls just had a lead the whole game. The Lakers could never close it. So, it was one of those frustrating-ass games. But Bron looked good. So, you know, that L sucked, especially when every fucking win matters at this stretch. But, you know, I think that they can pull it out. I think they can squeak in. If they squeak in, who the fuck knows?
Bro, we got LeBron and AD. We got good guard defense, which is hard as fuck to find in the NBA. You know what I mean? We have shooters. We got guys that can get fucking buckets on their own that aren't LeBron and AD. Nigga. And the bench is not bad. You know what I'm saying? My nigga. Chip me, please. Nigga, I am dot, bro. I told Mike, put it in the group chat today. I'm like, nigga, I've been there. I just didn't want to say nothing. Bro, you know I love to believe the lie, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Give me a reason to watch these games. Goddamn right, nigga. I think give me chip time. That's the high. But I think, like, bro, it's not shocking at all for them to make it out the West. I'm not afraid of anybody in the West. You know what I'm saying? Whoever comes out the East, that decides. Like I said, I think the Celts, we could beat them. Sorry, Jackson. I hate it. You know, I'm a Tatum fan. I love Tatum being from St. Louis, but I think they fool. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the Lakers. But, you know, Giannis, if they make it out, bro, that's going to be a hard six games. That ain't going to go to the Lakers' way.
I was about to say, it's a hard six games. That's, yeah, for the Bucks. You know for the Bucks
winning. Congratulations, Giannis.
Yeah, that would be fun, though. And I do feel like the NBA, you know, there's so much, you know, if you're glass half full, you say there's so much parity in the NBA this year. If you're glass half empty, you say the NBA is, you know, it's the worst Western Conference we've ever seen. You know, pick one. I say there's a lot of parity.
I'll say the same.
But what the league needs in a year with a lot of parity is they need a true superstar matchup in the finals. And I'm sure that everyone in the NBA head office is rooting for that. You need that. We never got it, right? The Braun Kobe finals. We need that, like Giannis versus Braun, Giannis versus Jokic, Tatum versus like we need some, you know, some Embiid versus Jokic. Like you need something that's like you can stamp some faces on this next couple years in the NBA. So I'll be curious to see what's going to happen. You know who it doesn't look like is going to be there is the Dallas Mavericks, who have
big musty.
Gone from saying that the referees cost them a game to looking like a lottery team who played their cards wrong. They should have been trying to tank to set up Luka with Wemby. But this has been really fascinating to watch happen, man. You had Jason Kidd on television the other night saying that they were, quote, dog shit, which is something I say, not an NBA coach usually says. I love calling people dog shit, but this is the coach of the team saying it's dog shit, saying we talked before the game about how much the game mattered and we came out and no one cared at all, you know? So what do you guys think of the Mavs implosion? I actually think Kyrie's getting maybe more of the blame than he deserves here. Kind of seems like Luka's got something going on, maybe not being happy with being there or with the moves the Mavs made. I don't know, but what do you guys think of their total implosion down the stretch here?
I for sure think that, you know, the piling on Kyrie is unfair. I don't think this is Kyrie's fault, but I do think this is the fallout from that Kyrie trade. You know, they lost depth, they lost playmaking when they
size,
made that trade.
Defense.
Yeah, right. So I don't think it's on Kyrie. Kyrie's been doing what's been asked of him on the basketball court. But I do think that you can, you know, point the finger at the front office. But at the same time, I don't know what's going on with the inner workings of that organization. When you got a guy like Luka, a guy who you have just notoriously not been able to get him help for, you know, in this very young part of his career. And you have Kyrie on the table. Like, I don't know how you don't pull that trigger to show that you are dedicated to, you know, helping your franchise player, especially when you know that, you know, he, you know, contract, you know, renegotiations coming up in a couple seasons and shit like this is going to, you know, weigh heavy. So I honestly don't know if you can really even fault the front office for making that trade. But at the same time, it's because of that trade. Right. So.
Yeah, the trade was the right decision. You have to get Kyrie in that situation, but they gave away the things that would allow them to win with Kyrie. You know, I mean, they were just in a difficult situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have Kyrie and Luka, and that's it. They have two very ball-dominant guards, and that's it. You know what I mean? They gave away their size. They're a very small team. They have no defense. They can't stop anybody. Those are two really good players, but not two really good players that can win together, and we're seeing that. You know what I'm saying? With just them. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not too shocked looking at it. I was wondering if it was going to work out, being that they gave away a lot of important pieces, winning pieces. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's been fun on the offensive side. I've seen a lot of cool Instagram clips that I've posted of Kyrie and Luka doing really pretty things, but it hasn't equated to dubs. So, yeah, man, like, it's not Jackson. Shocking.
How long until Luka's a Laker, Jackson? When is his when does he become available?
I think he's available 2025. I think
sounds good to me. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to him.
I got a couple of those Photoshop saved already, so I'm fully
the
ready.
The answer is he's under contract with the Dallas Mavericks through the 2025-2026 season.
We got to demand a trade then, Luka.
He has a player option. Then he's a player option. After
okay,
that.
We got to demand a trade before then, Luka. You got to be on the same team as Bron.
Yeah, because that wasn't gonna happen in 2020.
Bron will show you where all the good hookah spots are in LA. You know,
the LeBron James of feet. You know what I mean?
He'll show you where the LeBron James of hookah is.
That statement stunk. It stunk. I smelled it. It was a nasty statement. The LeBron James of feet, like,
come on, man,
come on, Bron.
I have a friend who's a foot guy, and he posted a meme a couple years ago that he still gets made fun of to this day. Where it was like, some guys like breasts, and some guys like asses. Like, why not some guys like feet? And everyone was like, because they're fucking feet, bro. Nigga. It's not the same. Like, bruh. What are you talking about?
Bruh. I mean, like, I like feet, but not – that's a wild statement to make. You know what I'm saying?
But there was a meme. That's like their whole community was like, yes, we've been slandered long enough.
There's a foot community? Yeah. Wow, yeah. This is a big deal.
What's a more wild statement? that statement or Mike just very casually saying, I have a feet guy.
I don't know. I have a friend who's a foot guy. Is what I said.
There we go.
Oh, did I say I'm a foot guy? No.
Hey, man, you pulled a bra, baby.
I have a, you pulled a bra. I have a foot guy.
I got a foot guy.
A little bit LeBron of you.
I have been seeing a podiatrist for my non-LeBron James-esque feet, but I bet she has an opinion. I would love to know what she thinks. Is this the highest compliment a podiatrist could receive?
Honestly, I got a little callus on my foot that's been causing me issues. I need to talk to Bron.
You don't need what Bron has.
Need to go to a podiatrist.
You need a pumice egg, bro. Like, you can handle that your goddamn self.
You know what I'm saying? I think I let it go too long.
You need a 10-day contract of feet.
That's what I need. Mean? Okay,
you don't need a first ballot Hall of Famer all time great. That's a Shanghai contract. You know what I mean?
Damn, you guys just got Shanghai problem. Shark feet,
yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah,
you feel me? Damn, all feet aren't created equal, nigga. You know what I mean?
Hey, one thing we wanted to mention, I think we haven't been always pointing this out when we've been recording live on AMP, but since we are getting ready for the playoffs, hit us up in the chat, throw some questions at us. Jackson had the idea to kind of end each episode with a question from the chat. So, we are getting ready for the playoffs. We want to interact more, get more questions. We'll be doing more of these records after playoff games and stuff once they get going in a couple weeks. So if you got a question for us, it could be serious life advice. It could be funny. It could be something stupid, whatever. Throw it in the chat and Jackson will flag it for us at the end of the show. So before we move off of...
Not a question, but in the chat, just to shout out the chat, we have someone saying John needs the Taj Gibson of feet.
Oh, wow, bro. Y'all really clowning a nigga.
Number 67 on the jersey.
Taj Gibson has some decent years.
Nothing negative. It's just like you've got a routine, like a, you know, you say you had a, you
it's
had a bunion
callus,
or
bro.
What?
Yeah, I'm
it's
not.
It's a callus.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still in the treadmill. My Hulk is treating me very well. You know what I mean?
You got a corn.
Yeah, it's not a corn. It's a callus on the bottom of the feet. Corn on the
isn't
top.
That
corn
what?
Are different, bro. Like, corns is, that's a big problem in the black community, bro. We don't fuck with that shit, bro. We clown
each
other
for that.
I thought
that was bunions. I thought, what's the difference between a corn and bunions?
A bunion is the joint with the big toe when the big toe leans in.
On the side.
That joint is really going crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that knuckle of the big toe. doing is that what you call it? Big toe knuckle? Is that what we're calling it? Does that make sense?
That sounds like a great insult. I'll file that one away.
You look like a big toe knuckle. Look at that.
All right, before we move off sports, I know Tyler wanted to talk about our guy Logan's Jaylen Brown piece that was making the rounds this week. Tyler, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, thank you, good sir. But yeah. Very interesting article on Jaylen Brown, who's one of the more interesting guys in the league. Shouts to the homie Logan Murdoch. Follow him if you're not following him already. Doing great work at the Ringer. Town business, as they say out in Oakland. Just going to pull up the quote here because I do not want to like misconstrue or combobulate this man's words, because he was very precise with airing out his distrust of the Boston Celtics front office. So I'm going to read the passage here. All right. The collaboration between Brown and Tatum nearly ended last July when Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Nets. The Celtics were among the teams to express interest, reportedly offering a package that included Brown, Derek White, and future draft picks. KD and JT are friends. They were working out together and whatnot, Brown says. So I wasn't sure what the energy was. I wasn't sure what the direction of the organization was. Puzzled, Brown placed a three-way call to Stevens and Tatum. During that discussion, Stevens says he assured Brown that the guard wasn't going anywhere. You just have to have a direct conversation, Stevens tells me of the meeting. And you have to be able to say, this is what's real. This is where we are. Obviously, you and Jason are the two guys that we built the whole roster around. And our every expectation is for us to come and compete together and try to be two games better than we were last year. Brown says, once we all got together and kind of talked it through, we all left on the same page. But the actions that was taking place during that time, it just didn't seem like that was the direction that the organization was going in. I don't know. It was hard to tell, at least. For as long as Brown has been in the Celtics, he's been involved in trade rumors. Last month, when Durant again requested a trade, Celtics owner Wick Grusbeck called Brown to squelch any worry Brown might have had. The nearly endless cycle has left some scars. Brown generally doesn't trust easily, and that now extends to his relationship with the Celtics. It's hard coming into teams and organizations and being warm. They operate on different principles, I think. This is an organization. They look at it as a business where they'll tell you one thing and then behind closed doors, they'll say another and they'll trade you off, he says. They'll tell you, we love you, and they'll be having like, we're going to trade him next week. I think that's just how business is run. Like where I'm from in the South, if you don't come through the front door, if you don't come through the front door, it's considered disrespectful. I feel like a lot of times when you deal in these corporate spaces, everybody wants to come through the back door or come through it with an angle. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown did not mince his words there. He basically said that he did not trust the Boston front office, and not necessarily because he was always in trade discussions, because he addressed the issue with them. Right. And he said, you know, the responses that he got back, you know, based on the way that he felt things were moving in the organization, it felt like they weren't being all the way honest with him. And I'm not, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a player who was like, you know, Brown is the co-franchise player. Tatum's the franchise. Mm-hmm. Right. Tatum's 1A. Brown is 1B. I don't think I've ever seen like, you know, a co-franchise player just publicly air out his franchise's front office while he's still there. You know, we get these quotes all the time after guys get traded, like, yeah, you know, I don't your family, right, but I know it's a business now. You don't get that when guys are still there. You know what I mean? So that was what was unique about this to me. I don't think I've ever seen a player of Brown's caliber air out the front office of a team he was still playing for, and you know, in such clear terms like that.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it exactly on the head. Like, when you know pro athletes, like, they talk about this stuff all the time. Then you never hear that publicly about a franchise that someone plays for. And but I'm glad he said it, because in the same way that I'm glad that AD started calling attention to it, I hope more players do it, that, like, the load management was something that was forced on him by the team doctors, you know, in front office. I hope players are more honest about this, because you see so much fan reaction to player movement and player decisions that disregards this aspect of the experience of being a professional athlete. And anyone who's been in any league for more than one contract knows what this feeling is. Like you just said it, this is not like a rotational player. This is 1B on the franchise's org chart in terms of players, right? But he still has this experience of, I know if they can flip me into a true second superstar next to Tatum, if they could flip me into KD, they'll do that shit. If they could flip me into, you know, someone that's available, they'll do that. And I think that someone who's smarter than I am made the point on Twitter, and I'm sorry, forgetting who it was, that, you know, this is also sort of a byproduct of the player empowerment era. You know, the player empowerment era, which, you know, I know all three of us are very much in favor of player empowerment. It's a top-down thing like everything else in the NBA and in pro sports. So Jason Tatum knows he's not being moved, but even the second guy on the roster of a successful team is every trade deadline feeling like he's got his bags half-packed. And I do think that's like a difficult byproduct of this era where you really have 10 or 15 guys that can kind of call the shots on what's happening. If KD had come out and said, get me to Boston no matter what, where's Jaylen Brown right now? You know what I mean?
And that would have been the right decision. I think the only thing he's asked is, yo, be up front. Because, of course you would trade me for KD. Like Tatum said before, like, shit, I would trade me for Tatum. Like, KD, like, I forget when this was. I think it was during the OKC before he went to the Warriors shit. You know what I'm saying? I think, like, I don't know why the Celtics would not be honest when everybody knows the truth. Everybody involved. And I think, like, it's not the fact that they would trade him. It's the fact that they wouldn't give him a straight answer. And that makes a ton of sense. But I like you were saying, Mike, everybody has to deal with that. Like, I know talking to players, like, off camera, wondering about, you know, how does it feel during the trade deadline? And they're like, bro, everybody's nervous. But those, like, 15 guys you talked about.
Your wife, your kids, your family, right, your mom wants to, like, you know what I mean? It's everyone's asking. And I think that there's an assumption that the players have more info than is out there publicly. But how many times have we heard guys say, Woj told me I had to change my kid's school? Like Woj told my wife, you're not going to get to see your friends till the off season. You know what I mean? Like,
did he say that, Spencer?
Yes.
He's an 18-point player in the NBA. Nigga, that's like top 50. There's not a lot of people scoring like that. And he's hearing shit from Woj or Shams. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
It's different, and obviously the guys are well compensated. I mean, I understand. Yeah. Like, no one,
but it still sucks, though. It still sucks, and it's still uncomfortable. And I think we can all relate to that. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I mean, you know, the front office, they're put in a shitty situation like that where I think they feel like they have to be dishonest to a degree, right? Because of course the trade didn't happen. So what do you do when if you do have an honest conversation, you know, where you say, yeah, you know, if we can move you for KD, unfortunately, we're going to have to make that happen. Like, you know, you basically tell a guy, you know, you're somewhat expendable here, but then it falls through and now we're like, okay, let's get back to chasing this ring.
You can't say that to him. I relate to what John's saying about the honesty, but I totally agree with Tyler. Like, you can't have there be a saved memory in your second best player's head of his boss's boss saying, but if we could make you into someone better, we absolutely would. And I Bomani said something about this, about Lamar Jackson, that this is the value of having an agent to some extent. Like, mm-hmm. And Bo said it, he's like, I love my bosses at HBO, but if I had to be the one to call him a motherfucker when we're negotiating contracts, we might not have that relationship.
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
So I'm with Tyler. I don't think you can put that memory in someone's head. But then you, like John said, like, you end up creating a situation where, of course, the guy feels a little bit like he doesn't trust you because you weren't honest with him.
I think in this situation is because we all know the truth. I'm not saying everybody, because sometimes it's like, maybe I don't, maybe. But if KD's available, of course I'm, you know, like, he knows that. So, I mean, if I'm him and they're telling me no, just flat out, you know what I mean? Not even kind of suggesting it at all. Come on, that's you can't trust that. You know, and so that's my thing is, like, you can give him something, you know what I mean, without saying that. Like, yeah, nigga, like, right. If KD's on the table, bro, it's fucking KD. You know what I'm saying? But, like, for a guy like him, who is a smart dude, like you said, he didn't mince his word. He spoke very, you know, eloquently to what he meant. He spoke exactly how he felt. You know, you feel what I'm saying? And so I don't think there's certain people like that when everybody knows the truth, or certain situations where everybody knows the truth, it might help to, you know, be somewhat honest in a, you know, tactful way, you know? And I don't know.
I think in situations like that, you have to know your personnel. You have to know the guy
who's, exactly,
you know, coming to you, you know, wanting transparency, and you have to, like, move from there. And you know, from as we can see here, Jalen wasn't buying shit they were selling him, you know, when they told him that he wasn't in these trades.
Would you have bought it, Tyler?
Absolutely not.
Would you have wanted a little bit of honesty?
I would have wanted some honesty, but I would have wanted to, like I said, the conundrum is how do you frame it to where if this trade doesn't happen, you know, I got to come and give my all.
That's why we ain't paid the bucks some niggas paid that are supposed to frame it in a particular way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, like, we know that this is not going to end up the way that they would want it to, you know what I mean, with him not trusting the fucking franchise and saying it, you know, in a Ringer article, you feel what I'm saying, to get picked up by everybody, like, yeah, so, like, it's you know, it's a tightrope you walk, but they I don't know if they played it the right way, but I understand both sides.
Jackson, I'm curious for your thoughts as a Celtics fan, both on, you know, the larger topic, but also more specifically. I think it's like a funny thing where we all talk about, like, how crazy and dumb sports fans are. But then, like I told y'all, like, you know, then Pat Bev becomes a Laker. I've hated Pat Bev his whole career. I hate, like, other than his story, I love his story, but I hate watching that dude play basketball. The moment he became a Laker, it's like, all right, I guess I'm rooting super hard for Pat Bev's success
until he played
now.
Basketball, and then you hated him again because he stuck it up.
Yeah, so Jackson, I'm curious for your take as a Celtics fan. I know, like, you always sort of hold your breath when an article like that comes out about a guy on your team. Like, I hope he doesn't say some shit that'll get stuck in my head.
Yeah, I mean, I love Jaylen Brown. I think at this point in Jaylen Brown's career, with how good he is, and Kevin Durant is kind of old, I don't even think I would trade Jaylen Brown for Kevin.
Really?
But
he's saying that because Jaylen Brown is a Boston Celtic.
He doesn't want Jaylen Brown to get.
That's exactly why I just asked him to give his opinion.
I get it. Right. But I think it's a tricky situation because you can't both sides in just this is one of the I think a lot of times professional athletes be like, well, and this is the one thing I don't agree with. I disagree with Draymond Green on this, where it's like, they're like, well, if I worked in a tech job, I wouldn't have to deal with this. It's like, yeah, you don't. You work in professional sports, and professional sports are different jobs than everyone else lives their lives. Okay. You don't, it's not the same job. However, this is one thing that I think is overlapping between professional sports and regular jobs, where employees and employers are dishonest to each other all the fucking time.
For the good of everyone.
Right.
Yes, the best. Your boss is not telling you, hey, guess what? If we find someone who can do your job as good as you for cheaper, we're going to do that. Right. And you're not telling your boss, I'm looking for other jobs when you are. Like, that's just the way employment works. Everyone is always looking for the better situation. And for the most part, that is a successful thing. The problem in professional sports is there's different kinds of optics. Like when Kyrie's like, I'm a Boston Celtic forever, man. The fans are pissed. And like, I get that. But like, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to be like, I'm going to wait and see? Because then that's more honest. But some people are pissed here. Other people are pissed if you're not honest. Like, it's a tough right. spot for everyone, the employer and the employee. So I don't really fault yeah. anyone in this situation. Like, Jalen's got to get his money. Jalen has the threat of having to move constantly because of a trade. The front office has a responsibility to make the team as good as possible. Like, everyone has their own responsibilities, and it's fine.
I understand why it's wearing on him, man. That has to suck. It's already stressful. But every time a fucking dog is available, Jaylen Brown has to look behind his back. Like, he's not a dog himself. You know what I mean? He's worked this hard to be a fucking guy, bro. You know what I mean? All-star, caliber quality player. I mean, like you said, there's 15 guys that don't have to worry about it. But, Mike, I love how you, how like, you know, adamant you were about for the good of everyone. Like, nigga, thank you for lying to me.
Well, Tyler's our employment expert, and I guarantee, like, Tyler's the most honest person ever when he's talking to people he's recruiting and stuff like that. But I know for a fact Tyler doesn't talk to his employer and be like,
you a fuck nigga.
This is what's going
to happen. Fuck you, nigga. Like, I guarantee he does.
Yeah, I do not say it in such certain terms as Jaylen Brown laid it out in that article. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I think you absolutely do trade Jaylen for KD if that could have happened, because the whole thing is, everyone looks at KD's age, but no, you're working on Tatum's timeline, right?
Right.
Tatum's 25 exactly. now. You get two, maybe three quality years out of KD. You hope you get a ring in that run, and then you retool with a 28-year-old Jason Tatum. That would have been the plan.
Jackson knows that. Yeah. It's just, but like, that's what's funny. When he thought Kevin Durant, he thought Boston Celtic. Then he would, you know, like, if the roles were reversed, he would never trade KD away for Jaylen Brown.
Of course. Everyone values their own team's player higher right. than they are. It's fine. I recognize I have the same.
I couldn't imagine doing that with KD, though. But, hey, I respect it. That's a lot of love for the Celts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The NBA season is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Tonight, Monday night, huge game between the Nuggets and the 76ers. Couple MVP frontrunners in Embiid and Jokic. Fellas, what are your thoughts on that game?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
let gambling guru Jones put on his thinking cap here. I'm going to ride the hot hand. Denver beat the fuck out of Milwaukee a couple days back. So I'm going to take Denver here. And I guess I will take the overs on Jokic. Fuck it.
I think Denver wins, but I think Embiid is going to go crazy. You know what I mean? So I'll take the over on Embiid, but I think Denver wins. I think he's taking this battle very – I don't think he wants anything more than he wants an MVP.
We'll see. We'll see between Jethro Jenkins and Dragonfly Jones who is the sharper NBA bettor. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/JANJ. That's FanDuel.com/JANDJ to learn more. And if you're in Massachusetts, get ready because FanDuel is coming soon. Make sure you check out FanDuel.com/Mass and take advantage of their great pre-live offers. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. National disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. All right, let's talk about our guy, friend of the pod, former guest, Hanif Abdurraqib, one of the best people on Twitter. For anyone who is listening to us who does not follow him, at Hanif Muhammad, tweeted out a screenshot of a story about a zebra who had escaped. And I'll just read the headline and then I'll read his commentary. Ciro the zebra breaks free from a zoo and runs through the streets of Seoul. Zoo officials said the three-year-old has been lonely since losing both his parents and not being taken in by a kangaroo family next door. But there may be brighter days ahead. A girlfriend. And Hanif's comment was, a girlfriend will not help Ciro the zebra unless he confronts and resolves his trauma around grief/abandonment. If he doesn't, his burdens will become her burdens and then their collective burdens and love will never grow. I've retired and I'm an animal therapist now.
Hey, great all advice. Jokes aside, that motherfucker is so nice with that pen. That was like really some beautiful, heavy, poignant shit right there that he said. Like all jokes aside, dog.
I hope Ciro takes that advice for sure.
Yeah, Ciro for sure got to tap in.
That is great advice.
Got to tap in and soak that game
up. For these young brothers listening to...
Yeah,
lean on that. You feel me? But go ahead.
That's real. That's real. But I'm very much interested in the backstory here. Like, I need to know how he became an orphan. I need to know why he was shunned by the family of kangaroos who he wanted acceptance from. Like, there's a lot here that I feel like we need to dig into. I mean, I can't even really fault the kangaroos because, for one, motherfucking kangaroos from Australia, zebras are from Africa. Y'all motherfuckers don't know each other.
I don't know you, nigga.
Know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
y'all motherfuckers do not know each other. Yeah. You know, so
just because you're both in the desert section of the zoo doesn't mean you're family.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
you might be the ops, nigga.
So yeah, so I'm very curious. I need more information on it. I might do some digging tonight and come back next episode with what I find. We'll see.
That kangaroo situation, like, it must have been a doozy for it to actually be mentioned in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that might have been what broke him.
Right. Somehow, feel me? The kangaroos wouldn't fuck with me. I just got tired. I can't find love anywhere, nigga. He went to a whole different species. They wouldn't fuck with him. Goddamn, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
And kangaroos are dickheads too. Like,
they are.
But kangaroos are assholes, bro.
Where's the girlfriend? Is the girlfriend? Was she out in the wild? Is she like what? What's going on here?
Tune in next episode.
I don't
live
think
on
a zebra's just running through Seoul though. Like, so it can't have been in the wild. I don't know. We need more information. We need more information for sure.
I'm interested in the concept of animal trauma. Like, we are animals, right? And when we lose a loved one or something, like, chemical things happen in our brain and we think thoughts and we can choose to put on certain music and whatever, but the same chemical thing must happen in like a wild animal's brain, roughly, right? Like, especially you're a young animal, you lose a parent or something. And so, like, but they can't go to therapy. You know what I mean? So, like, what happens with that? That's fascinating to me.
I feel like I might have told y'all this story before, but there's, you know, so many times where I think about what happens after we die. What's in the afterlife if there is an afterlife? And something that always hops out to me is, y'all remember Coco, the signing gorilla?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
She had and remember, she had a kitten that she fell in love with, and that kitten died, right? And she was very well aware that the kitten was dead. And, you know, the people who used to sign with her, you know, they asked her where her kitten was, and she said, comfortable hole. And that shit always fucks me when I think about what's hereafter, because it sounds, you know, because I think that, you know, there's either an afterlife or there is like a peaceful nothingness, right? Mm-hmm. And I think like comfortable hole, like I don't think a gorilla can grasp the concept of like a void of like nothingness. Right. So like that made me think that, you know, I think that animals are a bit more tapped into like nature and yeah, right? So I'm telling you, Coco signing that she thought her dead kitten was in a comfortable hole is some shit that I will always think about when I think about like what's here in the hereafter.
Yes.
I think animals are more tapped in, similar to how babies are more tapped in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, so I think Coco probably knows more than we do. You know what I mean? When it comes to what the fuck's going on in that, you know, in this afterlife, you know, or whatever. But yeah, man, like,
I don't know, man.
Like, human perspective is, like, it's fascinating because we, I told y'all a couple weekends ago, we took a boat over to Catalina Island, right?
Yep.
It's like 13 miles or something like that across the ocean. And one of the things we did when we were there was we got on this submersible boat, and it drove around the reef so that our kids could see the fish and stuff like that. But what tripped me out was, it wasn't like there were some fish. It was like the ocean was full of fish. Mm. Like,
schools move like one fucking organism, bro. It's so fucking,
and there's
fascinating.
Like thousands of fish in them. But it was like, think about if you looked up at the sky and it was just full of birds. That's what the ocean between Long Beach and Catalina was. There's dolphins, right? Sometimes there's sharks and whales and all this other shit. And I was just thinking, like, we're not aware of them ever in our daily life. Like, I've lived right near these fish my entire life, and I had no idea, like, never thought about them. And they have lived near me their entire life and have no idea maybe that there's even anything above the water. And it was just, I had a little existential crisis moment at 6:30 a.m. on the ferry out there, like, that's fucking wild. And then you just keep expanding that out, like, I've got a brain that allows me to see them and process that information, whereas they think the submersible boat is just like a god or something that comes and drops food off to get them to come over to the boat. But I don't know, like, it's a trip. I'm sure there's something of a higher consciousness than us on a universal level or something that's able to process information that we can't. You know what I mean?
What trips me out?
We're the fish to somebody. We're the fish to something, I guess is my point. Yes.
What trips me out is there's more going on down there than up here. You know what I mean? Far. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it might as well be two totally different existences on the same planet. And like,
and
you
they've
know,
got
we talk,
more of the planet than we do.
And they've,
they're like 60-something percent of the planet.
And we've spoke to the fact that, like, we know more about the space than the ocean on our own planet, bro. There is so much shit going on under there. That's wild as hell, bro. But when it comes to animal trauma, I wonder how they deal with that shit for real, because like the way they exist is traumatic to me, in my perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in the wild, like, to think about an animal in the zoo, I always feel bad for them, but at least they're safe from like predators and whatnot for the most part, right? You know what I mean? But living in the wild seems more traumatic than actually being captivated, you know, or captive, you know what I'm saying? Which is maybe that's just my perception, but I don't know. I wonder how they deal with that, the daily fears of just existing as a wild animal.
Bro, we discussed this story before when we talked about that the dude who ran the conservatories or whatever the fuck you want to call them for elephants out in Africa.
Yeah.
And when he died, African herds from fucking hundreds of miles away who he like helped foster
elephants are different,
came came and posted up at his crib when he died.
Elephants are different.
And just stayed there for like two or 3 days. That's, yeah. Elephants are for sure like tapped in a way that
I think elephants are the closest thing to spiritual beings on this planet, bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The way that elephants will walk by a skeletal remains of a elephant and know they knew that elephant and will stop and grieve. You know what I mean? Skeletal remains. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way they're tapped in around them is just crazy, bro. Like,
have y'all ever adopted like an abused or like a neglected pet? You ever been around? Like, there is like the trauma, it does exist. Like, we adopted a cat that had been taken back to the shelter a couple times. And it legit had trust like issues. Abandonment issues. Yeah, legitimately. Yeah. It was so anxious. It was Pablo, actually. It was our cat that passed away. Mm-hmm. He was so like, and then whenever we would pack, when we start packing to leave the house, he'd be freaking the fuck out. I've never had a cat do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it took him, I feel like, a couple years before he like relaxed. You know what I mean? I scratched someone.
Okay.
I don't need to run away because they're going to kick the shit out of me or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he did like settle into it eventually. But we talked about that. And actually, Maya asked us a lot of questions about that when our cat passed away, because we have another cat.
Yeah.
We're like, did she just lose her like only like reference point? Because we adopted her when she was a kitten. Yeah. Is this cat like the only other thing that's really existed to her? Because we're some other species that brings her food and... You know, whatever.
Is she only
like
indoors? She doesn't go outside at all?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. Because we get coyotes over here and shit. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like, I don't know. But it really, really tripped me the fuck out, bro. I don't know. Anyway. All right.
Got real existential over what's the zebra's name? God damn.
Cyril the zebra.
That motherfucker said,
started some shit.
Cyril's not a nigga.
Someone let Hanif know. He really got us off. But that's Hanif's timeline right there. Hanif's timeline is a tangent timeline. Yeah. It'll get you off Twitter thinking about some other shit. All right. Well, I'm not going to transition off that into fucking Jonathan Majors. So let's talk about let's talk about this hard R thing.
How ridiculous, bro.
Okay, there was a clip that circulated a couple weeks ago. I'll describe it because I don't know how many people saw it, but it was like two white podcast hosts. I think they're hosting like a video game podcast or something, but they were talking. One of them was talking about how in the early 2000s, the hard R slur was used super regularly, and then it was just like acceptable, and you'd see it on Family Guy. And then he said... you know, I'm not afraid to admit, like, I use the hard R word all the time.
Everybody used it.
Everybody
used
it.
We all used it. And old boy was like, huh? I don't know about you, brother.
His co-host head spun all the way around on his body like The Exorcist. And then came to discover that the guy who was saying that thought that the hard R was the R slur for, you know, mentally handicapped people. And so... first of all, it was a hilarious clip because the guy saw his whole life flash before his eyes as he realized what he'd actually been saying.
What all had transpired, according to everybody else watching.
But Shar's been keeping me updated on this. It's revealed this, like, this is actually a not negligible group of white people that thought that the phrase, the hard R, referred to what we would call the R word. And that is really fascinating to me. I told y'all that might be a two Americas. I think y'all had it three, in three or four, maybe even five Americas.
Three Americas. Yeah, obviously there's two white Americas. That's some white people shit that white people are confusing. You know what I mean? Because I don't hear niggas in the wild saying hard R. Never heard a nigga in the wild say that. You feel me? Like you said, like we spoke to it before, you know, Mike, it might happen in corporate settings. You know, you might describe the N-word. I don't even think I say N-word. I don't know if I've said hard R outside of this right here. You know, outside of talking on the podcast. You feel what I'm saying? Like, dog, I don't know, man. I think that's some white people shit that white man didn't know. There's two white Americas.
Now,
we're learning about
white
the other
shit.
White America, man. Maybe they are the oceanic whites. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
That's some post-grad white people shit right
there. Yeah, right? Interesting, bro. But that, I mean, come on. Like, you hard R, you really thought that? Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? You don't got the internet? You know what I mean?
Some people. I mean,
look. I believe it because white people know so little about black people. Like we discussed before, like in a group chat, I was like, bro, watch Jeopardy. If you want to know how black people have to know so much about white people to move in this country and how little they have to know about black people, watch Jeopardy and watch these fucking brain scientists, these lawyers, these college professors, watch them go 0 for 5 on a black history category. Right? Like they don't know shit about
us. So you're so right about that. It's like, this is how much a Honus Wagner rookie card sold for in 1937. And then like
they know to the cent.
The $100 question about black movies is like, never heard of Friday. You know what I mean? Right. You're like, this is like
this preacher from Atlanta had a dream. Martin Luther King. It was Martin Luther King, guys.
Oh, of course. Oh,
of course it was.
Who is Future?
Literally, they'll be like, who is Future? I'm really wondering. I've never heard of Future before.
That's such a good point. You're so right about that.
Yeah, like, and it happened because that one viral clip where homie ain't know what the green book was for black people to travel safely.
What did he say it was?
The black book, because it was a black history category.
Bro, that was a black
category. This motherfucker said the black book,
and he said it like the black book, I guess, like because they're black. You know what I mean?
That's so true. But that tone of voice is so part of it that it's like, I can't believe I'm being asked about this topic.
Right.
Was it Martin Luther King Jr. who had the dream?
Right. On Jeopardy, we don't have anything anymore. You know what I mean?
Come on, dog.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I would always love when I was at my grandma's house because she would whoop my ass on Jeopardy, except for when we got to sports or we got to anything that wasn't about white people.
Negroes! I'll take over here, Grandma.
That was my safe space. Absolutely.
Right. I know an NBA category came through. You're like, oh, easy money, dog.
Right, best
of both worlds colliding here.
Rubbing my hands together.
Turn on Jock Jams. You know what I mean? Tore off the warm ups. We ready now, baby. You feel what I'm saying? We really, these niggas really created jock jams for people to come out to, like middle schoolers, like play jock jams. I'm like, nigga, bro, Tupac was existing. He has songs. You want me to play fucking jock jams, nigga? Bro, like,
who let the dogs out?
Snoop.
We are 16 years old. Right. Why are we turning up to Who Let the Dogs
Out?
Nigga,
bro, we have the coolest humans on the planet dropping music right now. And you want to play this weird ass shit? Goodness gracious. Absolutely. They probably made crazy money off that. I wonder how much money Jock Jams made. I bet the child of the person who is living fabulously from their dad. Daddy created Jock Jams.
but they still say that's the most valuable song you could create is a song that gets put. Like Seven Nation Army made the White Stripes like $1 billion because it gets played at so many sporting events. Like yes,
Jock I wonder Jams how much Snoop made off of Fuck Them Other Niggas. Yeah. In high school, like we was running the hell out of that.
Yeah. Made a lot of money in Long Beach.
I made a lot of money in Alabama too, and in St. Louis, my nigga. You did.
All right, have y'all heard of Ghost Kitchens? I'm excited. Never. I think Jackson just mentioned he never heard of it. Okay,
never.
So there's a spot in is it in Santa Monica, Mendocino, John?
Oh yeah, I mean there are multiple places.
Mendocino Farms is like a sandwich salad place in LA that I had for the first time when we were
it's
doing the
elevated
live
fast
slasher.
Food, guys.
Shut the fuck up.
If old girl from Indiana would have sent me to Mendo's, we wouldn't be beefing instead of fucking Subway. You know what I mean? But go ahead. Go ahead.
So anyway, I had it. We all ate there when we were up at Buckets during the playoffs last year. It was really good. And I was bummed out because there isn't one in Long Beach and I would like to eat there frequently.
I didn't know you liked it that much. Good. That's fire.
Cool. Oh, it was great. Yeah. It's like what I'm looking for. It's like a good sandwich that's not just a deli sandwich.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
Right.
So anyway, Char told me that it came up on Postmates in Long Beach. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And it turns out that what it is, because they don't have a restaurant here, is what's called a ghost kitchen, which is the new form of American hellscape for our culture deteriorating into a series of apps, which is, this is what a ghost kitchen is. Someone rents a big ass industrial building. They then set up a bunch of different spots inside of it to cook, and you just pretend that it's Mendocino Farms. It's just some dude in there making their recipes and giving them to the Postmates person. You literally can't walk up to it and order food because it doesn't exist. It's just that's why they call it a ghost kitchen, because it just exists only for the app. And I don't know why, but it just seems very dystopian to me.
Tyler is not trusted at all. This nigga like,
is this actually Mendocino Farms making the food, or it's like Jim?
Well,
from
what
Long
is
Beach
it, Mendocino Farms? That's what I don't like about it. What is Mendocino Farms? It's their recipe.
It's their recipes. It's like it's a collaborative space for a different restaurant to make money off the Uber Eats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you're saying, like, who's paying the guy that's making the food?
Mike, just be happy that there's a Mendo's that you can order from. Look at the good. This world is trash, okay? We know it. Let's not trip off of it, bro.
We have ordered from it. I mean, yeah. I will order
and
from
how, and it. And
how
and what
is it? But the ghost kitchen thing, I'm with
Tyler. Chicken sandwich. Come on,
but
man.
But the ghost kitchen thing, I'm with Tyler. I don't trust it.
Does it feel like when you ordered from it? Does it eat like the regular Mendocino?
Yes, and it has the packaging and everything too, but it's just Jim in Long Beach in a fucking building by himself making this shit and putting it in a bag and handing it to an Uber guy.
It's probably robots, bro.
Bro, I still remember the sandwich I had from that motherfucker. It was a pastrami on rye. That shit was good as fuck. Like, I have very high, I hold that sandwich in very high esteem. I'll tell you that much. And good. I can imagine, like, you order some shit and it just doesn't meet the expectations of what you have.
No, he said it's good, like, though. He said it's
it was good.
It was good. It's the same vibe.
It was good, but it's just, but part of what I liked about it was that it's a restaurant. And I walked in and I felt comfortable in there.
But you
and
were ordering Uber Eats. So you wouldn't have been in a restaurant anyway.
It's
bro,
a motherfucking
Sonny from Our Robot made your fucking sandwich and it was delicious and you liked it and you got to deal with it, Mike. You ate at a ghost kitchen, okay? It's okay. It's all right. We probably have all eaten at a ghost kitchen and not known it. You're not the only one, okay?
Okay,
Mike. You're okay. You have no response?
I have no response to that. You make a great point.
Yeah.
like how expansive is this? Because I can imagine there's only certain types of words. Like a sandwich shop, okay, I can get that. You just need some cold cuts and bread to run your shit, right? Like are there like Jamaican spots that are fucking ghost kitchens and shit?
No, yes. We would
no,
taste
it's
that.
Become a, no, it's become a big thing in Southern California because as people were, hold on, I read a whole article in the
they have
LA
to,
Times
to,
about
to me,
ghost kitchens.
To me,
hold
it
on.
Feels like it only makes sense to me if it is like popularized, you know what I'm saying? Like fast food joints, if it like not where I get my Jamaican spot, Jamaican food, it's only one of them on the planet, dog. You know what I'm saying? They're not recreating that quality of food.
If you're it's like, so
I've
wrong
heard,
about how popular
I've
ghost kitchens
the,
are.
No,
bro.
I'm just, no, I'm saying, I'm saying you're not going to find a natural lard. I can't order that from a ghost kitchen because there's only one. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're talking about, Mike, right? I mean, Tyler, right?
I've heard of the inverse of this, where like Denny's, there's a place on Postmates or Uber Eats called like the grilled cheese spot or whatever,
right.
And all you can get is grilled cheese, and those are just coming from Denny's. Like they're literally just coming from not like a ghost kitchen, literally a Denny's, and they just make a grilled cheese, hand it to a Postmates driver, sell it as right. Something
totally
Denny's,
different
so
branding and all that.
Denny's.
Yes.
Yeah, completely different.
I just texted John and Tyler a picture from one of the stories I read about ghost kitchens. It's just a row of shipping containers with doors on them, and it's just these like fake little kitchens. In these
hey man, this ain't it, bro. The vibes are not here. It's vibeless food.
It's fuck up. It's fucked up. Bro.
It's vibeless food.
It's just
bro.
Some guy in there by
dude,
himself.
Fuck Sonny.
Like,
fuck Sonny.
John went 180
bro,
so
this
fast.
Is ugly.
I was like, you're going to
I'll send you the photo.
You're going to like
I'll
it.
I'll send
bro,
you the photo, Jackson.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying John was all like lecturing
the
Mike
looks
about
dystopian, bro. This feels dystopian. Like Russia. You know what I mean? Like, nigga.
Bro. Bro, I Googled if there are Jamaican ghost kitchens, and there are. And there's one in Virginia. There's one in Virginia, and the fucking lead says a Jamaican ghost kitchen has opened in Sterling. Sterling is a city in Virginia. Grandpa Hank's Jamaican kitchen is serving oxtail and jerk chicken from O'Malley's Pub.
What in the fuck? No. But is Grandpa Hanks the only Grandpa Hanks? Is Grandpa Hanks... Because you're not... If it's Grandpa Hanks, it seems like it'd probably be nasty Jamaican food.
Grandpa in the name of a fictional restaurant. Dude, that's so wrong.
Are Henry's a popular name in Jamaica? Like, is that just... Are they just making up this?
This is... I don't like...
Like, Grandpa Mikael's Jamaican kitchen, Jamaican food. Like, that feels like that would be in a ghost kitchen. You know what I mean? Like... If yeah. it's a
this feels like that meme where it's like I do not like this, so I pretend I do not.
Totally,
see. I'm just gonna.
But it is nice to have Mendocino's in Long Beach.
I don't want no motherfucking oxtail from an Irish pub. Bro.
Period.
I'll go there for some shepherd's pie or some shit. But you serving me some goddamn curry goat from O'Malley's Pub?
A fucking beef patty from what, nigga? That don't make no sense, nigga. That oxtail soup ain't gonna slap like it's supposed to.
You can have a motherfucker named Sheamus goddamn cooking up my curry
peas and rice. Hell nah, nigga.
Fucking you, corn. Bro. They're giving you corn oxtail.
Nigga.
Corn bro, beef oxtail.
I don't trust corn none of that tail. Shit.
Fuck. Mm-mm.
All right. Okay, let's talk about, I know all three of us have some thoughts about, there's just no way to segue into this shit, but this Jonathan Majors shit.
Can't avoid it.
Fucking bummer on every level, from what may or may not have actually happened to the discourse around it to everything else. And I'll just start out by saying this. It is very bothersome to me, and I have a lot of friends posting shit like this on the internet, that people are acting like it's an act of solidarity racially to doubt the words of a woman saying she's been abused. And that really bothers the fucking hell out of me. But I have had so many friends retweeting people saying stuff like, I'm going to give him the same benefit of the doubt that the media gave these other white actors, whatever. It's like, God,
like
damn,
Johnny Depp,
bro,
or some shit. Like,
I don't, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. The whole shit is just like, it's just, I literally kept me off the internet all weekend because I just saw like six things my friends were retweeting. I was like, let me get the fuck out of here, bro. Go play with my kids.
Yeah, it's, I haven't spoken on that on Twitter because I feel like so many people are just missing the whole fucking point, right? I feel like, for one, I don't think it's really my space because I'm not someone who's been a victim of that shit. I think that, you know, times like this, we got to give the floor to, you know, people who have been through that shit. There was like a recent development where Jonathan Majors' lawyer released a statement saying that the woman is going to recant her statement and all that. And people, and it's like a whole lot of people are like, yes, exoneration. See, this is what I'm telling y'all about. And that shit doesn't mean anything to me, bro. Mm-hmm.
Are there's video evidence? And I don't know. They don't know if it was her that it got the, it might've been the taxi driver because apparently he was in a taxi. People were saying that she looked at his phone, saw that it was a woman he was texting to. And then he responded to her trying to grab his phone. And the taxi driver may be the person that called 911, maybe not her. So there's a lot of different questions about this. So if there's evidence in that way, bro, there's no, you know, she can recant that. But, you know, I mean, he's an abuser. She may be afraid. I mean, if what he was doing is true, you know what I mean?
Like, she went to the hospital with bruises and lacerations.
Come on, G. Right?
So, so like I said, the recanting doesn't fucking move the needle for me at all, because I mean, this is a dude who is being anchored to the biggest fucking franchise in Hollywood for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. This is a dude who they are entrusting to give the multiple $1 billion movies over the next 5 years, right? The people behind this man, they can make shit like this go away, you know what I mean? So that really doesn't mean shit to me. We've seen plenty of people who have ran in Jonathan Majors' circle come out and say that, yeah, this isn't anything new. This is his reputation. This is who he is. So, I mean, look, my whole thing is this. I don't know these motherfuckers. And I have no problem just not fucking saying with a celebrity anymore.
Right.
Right? Like, I was with everybody. It was a feel-good story. I was like, yeah, this young man came out of relative obscurity and is now a fucking A-lister. Good for him. Bro, I don't need to fuck with this dude anymore. I don't know that motherfucker. If he's an abuser, which all signs point to, then it's fuck him. It's that easy, dog.
Never trust a nigga that don't get his hairline, dog. You feel me? Can't trust a nigga with some dirty boots and no hairline, nigga. Can't trust a nigga doing push-ups with a widow's peak. You feel what I'm saying? Bro, he had us breaking rules, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Some of these old rules were not for our betterment. Some were. You know what I mean? Some
were. They were wisdom.
Some were.
They were wisdom
my
imparted
mama told
on us
me,
from the elders.
Keep a fresh cut and keep some clean shoes, nigga. That's a trustworthy nigga. You know what I mean? We don't trust black men with no facial hair either. So, hey, man.
I think one other comment I made to y'all that I feel comfortable talking about on the pod that I do think goes across all races when you're just talking about men in America is I said he's a guy who used to be a dork who's now super popular and considered very attractive. And I said, so of course he's a terrible person.
Yeah, and man. We all saw that nose.
Cheekbone to cheekbone shawty, bro. We saw that. You know, he made it out of that nose. Bro, he had some scars, nigga. You feel me? You don't carry that nose around in middle school and high school and not get your ass fried, bro. You know? Fuck that nigga, bro. Hey, fuck him, man. It is what it is, dog.
But my point was there is like, and this is part and parcel with the whole incel craziness is this like people who turn rejection, who take rejection and turn it into seeing women as
the enemy,
markers or measurements or yes, an opposing force or something. And I do think that can manifest itself in ways that are annoying but not so scary, like just, you know, certain musicians you can maybe talk about, whatever else. But it's also on the other way over to people who are really violent or who do, you know, these horrible things or whatever. So I do think that's a common thing, though, like, again, across not just like any individual group of people, but like men in this country in particular. It does seem to be like if you've experienced shame or rejection or something, that it metabolizes into this kind of darker, you know, part of a personality or whatever. So honestly, that was my first reaction when I heard it, was like, anytime I see a bunch of headlines, they're like, this person used to be a nerd and now everyone's thirsting after him. It's like, the human brain's not meant to go through that transformation. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb there.
Wait, I hate to say it, but it's a fact. But I mean, bro, like, regardless of what happens, you know, like Tyler spoke to the fact that he got some, you know, dudes he's that are making a lot of money off of his personage. You know what I mean? Who he is. You know what I mean? And regardless of what happens in the when it comes to the law, and if he goes to, you know, if he's convicted of anything or whatever, or he considered, or they say he actually did it or not, whatever, bro, we know what the fuck happened. We know what happened. You know what I mean? And I personally cannot support that shit at all, dog. Flat the fuck out, man. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, like, I mean, that you know, that's just, the evidence is all there. You know what I mean? She went to the hospital for lacerations, like Tyler said. You know what I mean? There's people within his circle are speaking to things he's done. There's tweets that are coming up that people were afraid to say his name and now are saying, this is who I was speaking to, you know, that have connections with him. Hey, man. Yeah. Believe what you want. Believe what you want. But like, yeah, bro. Like, I just.
Bro.
It's not rocket science here. You know yes. what I mean? It's not difficult.
And it's folks putting themselves out there saying, yes, I will stand on the fact that this is who he is. This is who right. he's been for years. These are dudes who are in the industry. Like you go to their Twitter page, you see writer for HBO, such
IMDb
and such and such.
Niggas.
Right.
You know what
right?
I'm saying?
Yeah. Like these are dudes with skin in the game who are saying, yes, I can stand on this because I know it's a fact. So yeah, that was like the most damning part of it to me, because you can say, you can, you know, do the whole little bullshit. You know, there's no concrete evidence, whatever the fuck. For one, I think that, you know, people get falsely accused very rarely. You
very
know,
rarely.
Very rarely.
The numbers speak to that.
Very rarely.
Numbers speak to that.
Right. And then just for, you know, multiple people to come out and say, yeah, that's who he is. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was grand opening, grand closing. You
yeah,
got a good
yeah,
run.
Yeah, yeah.
I have friends who have been saying, and I know that we're going to get people who respond to this saying this, so I think it's a good point. I think it's worth driving home. So I'll just ask you guys. You know, there's people who will say, you know, because he's a black man, everyone's going to be faster to jump to assuming that he's guilty. And like I said, I have people retweeting this shit about Mel Gibson and you know, whoever else. And we know how biased the criminal justice system is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what I feel like you guys are saying is like, this has nothing to do with any of that shit. This is what your eyeballs and brain is telling you about what you're reading. But, you know, what's your response to that? People saying like, oh, you're so quick to throw away a promising young black creator or something like that.
I agree with that. Go ahead, Tyler.
No, I was going to say, of course, there are discrepancies in regards to that.
For sure.
I just hate that we fucking bring that shit up when we want black people to get the same fucking leniency for committing atrocities that white people do. That's not the type of equality I want, dog.
Period.
I don't want I don't want to be fucking as evil and as vile as some white guys who got off the hook. That's not my fucking, you know, perception of what equality or equity is, whatever the fuck. So no. And for one, with Jonathan Majors, this is a very unique situation with him because everyone was saying he was attacking black masculinity during those photo shoots when, you know, he was wearing like pink feather boas and shit, mm-hmm. right? But now all of a sudden, you know, everyone's, you know, those same motherfuckers are fucking, you know, averting course. He was once the enemy, the main, you know, fucking attacker of black masculinity. Now, because, you know, there's speculation that he's been violent to women, now they're all behind him. And so all that shit is bullshit, bro. Fuck all that noise.
I mean, like Tyler said, I agree with those statements you made. You feel me? But dog, man, I'm gonna call a fuck nigga around here, whether you're white, black, green, or purple, nigga. That's a fuck nigga. Okay. And I can't support that shit. Period.
All right, that's all the time we got for Jenkins and Jones. We did not. Jackson says the chat's a little quiet tonight, but for everyone listening on AMP or elsewhere going forward, come ask us some shit in the chat. You know, we'll answer it. We definitely want to hear from you guys future episodes. So come hang out with us. We're recording live, which we have been and will continue to be doing here on the Amazon AMP application. That's all the time we got. We'll be back on Thursday. Bye.
Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.
Wednesday.
Wednesday live.
We'll
live
be back on Wednesday live, baby. But yeah, Wednesday.
The pod will be dropping on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.